Today and next Sunday, we're going to be in a short four-sermon series from John chapter 10, if you want to turn there. We're going to talk about the Good Shepherd. Jesus says he is the Good Shepherd, sent from heaven. Let me turn this on. Sorry about that. And the first part of the chapter centers around the shepherd and his fold. This follows chapter 9. There's really no break here. When John wrote this, he didn't stop and say chapter 10. That was added later by the translators. So actually, you read chapter 9 and it just goes right into chapter 10. Chapter 9 talks about the false prophets of Israel. And in chapter 10, Jesus speaks of himself as being the true shepherd that has come from heaven to call his flock together. He's actually asking them to leave the fold of Israel, of Judaism, and enter into the flock of the Lord. So he's going to talk about being a shepherd. We're familiar with that. In the Old Testament, Abel was a shepherd, wasn't he? And so was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Moses was a shepherd in Midian before he went back to Egypt. David was a shepherd before he became king. So we're familiar with this idea of the shepherd. And all that was really a type of the great shepherd who would come. And as we look at this, we're going to look at the first seven verses in chapter 10. And the first verse teaches us about the sheepfold in heaven. At least that's the way some people explain it. But if you look at the context, that's not really what it's talking about. It's not saying that the sheepfold is heaven, and the only way to get in is through Jesus Christ. Now, that is true. But that's not what this verse is saying. The Bible does say in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So it's true, Jesus Christ is the door, the only way into heaven. But that's not what this is saying. Jesus made it clear in verse 16 that the fold here is the nation of Israel. He's leading his sheep out of Judaism. He goes on to say that there's other sheep that will come in. That's the Gentiles. We will be added to this number. But as we look at this, we see that Jesus came the appointed way as the scriptures had promised. Every true shepherd has been called of God and sent by God, and they come with the word of God, and the sheep hear their voice. They're not afraid to follow them. The true shepherd loves his sheep and will care for them. How many of y'all remember the old Candid Camera TV show? My generation, right? Candid Camera, Alan Funt, I think, was the one in charge of that. I remember one program, they went to an exclusive prep school disguised as career consultants. And they were meeting with the different students to counsel them, to test them, interview them, to let them know what their career should be. They showed them talking to one young man, and after they had interviewed him, and he's thinking, well, they're probably going to tell me I should be a research scientist or maybe an engineer of some sort. But the counselor said, after evaluating your test and interview, we decided the best job for you, you're best equipped to be a shepherd. You could just see the boy's face, like, what in the world are you talking about? Who wants to be a shepherd dealing with stupid sheep? Sheep are stupid, by the way. They get lost very easily. They can't find their way home. You know, a dog and a cat can find their way home. A horse can find his way back to the barn. But a sheep, pretty stupid. And that's what we are. We are the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a shepherd. We're lost without one. Amen? So we're going to think about this for today and next Sunday. We're going to think about the great shepherd and his sheep, and learn a lot about him and what he wants to do for us. We're going to talk about sheep and sheepfolds and shepherds. And keep in mind, this is all from an Eastern perspective, how the shepherds were in the Middle East during Christ's time. There's a lot of truth clustered around this image. So let's look at this, chapter 10, verse 1. If you want to take notes, the story revolves around three characters. First, we see that the sheep should fear the false shepherd. They should fear the false shepherd. My screen's not on back here on the back, Tim, if you want to click it up for me. Look at verse 1. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now he begins here with the criticism of the Jewish leaders of his day and time. By the way, if you read in the Old Testament, let me give you several. I don't have time to read these, but you might want to jot these down. These are interesting, depicting the false shepherds of Israel. Ezekiel 34, write that down. Ezekiel 34, verses 2 through 15. That's very interesting. I want you to read that this afternoon. Also, Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 6. And Zechariah chapter 11, verses 4 through 11. Those are all very interesting passages. Ezekiel 34, Jeremiah 23, Zechariah chapter 11. And these false shepherds have, in Jesus, they just demonstrated their disregard for the welfare of the sheep, because in chapter 9, you read about the blind man who had been healed by Jesus, and he's cast out of the synagogue for giving glory and honor to Jesus of Nazareth. This is done by the false shepherds of Israel. Jesus points that out. He talked about that fold that is there, and how he is calling them from the fold of Judaism to enter into the flock of the Lord. Now, you got to think about the fold. Back in Jesus' day, the shepherd would make a fold for his sheep. He would maybe make a rock wall, maybe going up against a mountainside or a cave and come out with some rocks, make a wall there with an entry, an opening into that fold. And at night he would bring his flock into the fold where they could have rest and be safe from any of the animals that might attack them. So Jesus says that he came the right way. He presents his credentials. He demonstrates his love for the sheep. In contrast to the religious leaders of that day and time, which he calls thieves and robbers. Those who steal, those who use violence that they might get their own way. And that's what the religious leaders of Israel had become. He talks about their pride, their desire for power, their misinterpretation of the scriptures. Instead of feeding the flock of God, they were stealing away their rich heritage. So he marks them as false shepherds. Not only that, but secondly, he presents the credentials of Jesus' legitimacy. He is the genuine shepherd. He enters in the right way, legitimately. Let me remind you some of these things. Isaiah 7:14. There we find the prophecy of the coming of the Lord, the Messiah, who would be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now if you take your Bible, go to Matthew chapters 1 and 2. I want to show you how each of these prophecies were fulfilled in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and here's Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. He was born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Now in Matthew chapter 2, look at verse 4. "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ, Messiah, should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet," and they're going to quote Micah 5:2, "Thou Bethlehem, the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come forth a governor that shall rule my people Israel." So he comes in the fullness of time, as the Bible says. He comes out of Egypt, another prophecy that provokes the rage of the enemy. In Jeremiah 31:15, says, "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not." Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. You see how that prophecy was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." Look at this. "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation, weeping, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." Her children are not. So all these prophecies. So what I'm trying to see is Jesus enters the right way. He enters according to scriptures. Born of the tribe of Judah. Born of the family of David. Folks, he was the right person, born in the right place, arriving at the right time in the right country, attended by all the right signs. There's no reason why the religious leaders of Israel should not have recognized Jesus of Nazareth as being their Messiah. But they were false. They did not know the Lord and did not accept him when he came. The second thing I want you to see, you fear the false shepherd, but as we read on back in John chapter 10, we are to follow the faithful shepherd. Let's read verses 2 through 4, John chapter 10. "But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Now, first thing we see is he has access to the fold. I believe the porter here was John the Baptist. Right? He was the forerunner of the Messiah. He was sent to announce the coming of the Messiah, to validate his credentials to the nation of Israel, to introduce him to the people. The Bible said he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." So John identified Jesus as being the true shepherd. Remember in John 1:29, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Now here's the case. Jesus is not only the shepherd, he's also the Lamb. He could do both, couldn't he? He came to be our shepherd, but then he also offered himself to be the Lamb of God, which taketh away our sins. So John tells his disciples, hey, quit following me. From now on, you need to follow him. I must decrease and he must increase. So they began to follow Jesus as the true shepherd of the sheep. Now, folks, listen. A lot of people preach about Jesus. All over the country today and all the different kinds of churches, they're preaching about Jesus. But what Jesus are they talking about? Is it the Jesus of the Moonies? Is it the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witness? The Jesus of the Mormons? Of the Scientologists? Of the Christian Scientists? Jesus is being preached, but that's not the Jesus of the Bible. Because all of those religions deny the deity of Jesus Christ. The Jesus they preach is not the Jesus of the Bible. Everybody understand that? Just because a preacher talks about Jesus, you better tune in. What Jesus is he talking about? The sheep recognize the voice of the true shepherd. As Jesus would preach, Matthew 7:29 says, he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. See, the rabbis of that day and time, they would appeal to tradition. They would appeal to the writings of some scholar, some rabbi. They added many burdensome additions to the law. There's all these appeals to what this rabbi said or what this rabbi taught. And they were stifling the Word of God. That's why the Lord Jesus exposed them and rebuked them. That's why they crucified him. He was exposing their false teaching. And it made them very angry. They hated him. And they saw the common people coming to Jesus and embracing him, recognizing his true identity as their Messiah. They recognized him and he recognized them. He called them by name. There's a beautiful truth to that. The Lord knows us by name. Now, when Antichrist comes, you're just going to be a number. But Jesus knows you by name. He calls you by name. And we follow him. We're called out to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we become part of his flock, part of the great family of God. So that what you see is acceptance by the flock. Now keep in mind, the Palestinian shepherd, he did not send a sheepdog to round up his flock. He would just call out to his sheep and they would follow him. They knew the voice of their shepherd. Jot this verse down, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He knows you by name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. For some of us, that's not a problem, is it, Brother Philip? And the Palestinian shepherd, he didn't drive his sheep, he led his sheep. He's not a cowboy, he's a shepherd. He would go before them, and they would follow him. Now, it was not unusual back then for several shepherds and their flocks to come together. They might even put them all in the same fold for the night. And then the next morning, as the shepherd would go their way, all they would do is call out to their sheep, and their sheep would follow their shepherd. They would not follow another. They knew the voice of their shepherd, and they would follow him. Each sheep recognized that. And the idea is, the Lord Jesus Christ is leading his sheep. At that time, he's leading them out of the fold of Judaism. And those who recognize the voice of their Messiah, they recognize the voice of grace and truth and power, they follow him. They will not follow a stranger. So do you know the voice of your shepherd? Do you recognize that? The false shepherds, they really had no use for the sheep. You go back to chapter, and you see how they treated the blind man. They had no love, no care for the sheep. And they hated the Lord Jesus Christ, the true shepherd, because he was attracting many people to him. That brings us to the third character. Flee the forceful stranger. Let's read verses 5 through 7. Chapter 10 of John. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Or one of the great I am statements of the Bible. You see several of these. That Jesus saying, I am. That goes back to the Old Testament, doesn't it? God revealed to Moses. He said, who do I tell the people sent me? They're going to ask me what your name is. He said, you tell them I am. I am that I am. The great I am has sent you. And Jesus identified with that in his coming. So think about this. Flee the forceful stranger. Think about the danger to the people in following a false shepherd. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and are following him, he gives us discernment to know between true and evil, to identify false teachers and recognize false doctrine. I heard about a certain Christian businessman who sent his pastor an article about the teaching of certain televangelists, the prosperity gospel, how that God wants to make you rich and all this that goes on with that. He sent that article to his pastor, and above it he wrote, there's something wrong with this. This is when this first started coming out, the Word of Faith movement. He said, there's something wrong with this. And he's right. There's a lot wrong with that. He recognized, this is not the voice of my shepherd. Maybe he really couldn't put his finger on what it was, but there was something wrong with this. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from them. The healed blind man did not heed the false shepherds, the Pharisees. He recognized the voice of his shepherd and followed him. We will be given understanding so as not to be deceived by the false shepherds, the false prophets. Write this verse down, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Paul said, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. Now look at this. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Talking about the false shepherds, who will deceive people with false doctrine. As we grow in Christ, we will recognize this. We won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Anyone who knows the voice of the Savior and gets into the Word of God will recognize false doctrine. I don't know if you've ever been around sheep, but if you see a flock of sheep and you go out among them, they will run from you. They're afraid of strangers. They'll run away. Well, the same is true of us. We need to be afraid of those who come to us with strange doctrine. That happens. Matter of fact, using a different figure of speech, look over in Acts chapter 20. When Paul was talking to the elders at Ephesus, he gave them a warning here. In Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30, he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." He drops down and he says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." We not only have to watch out for false shepherds, but then there's the wolves who may come in to destroy the flock. See, when a stranger comes, he comes into the church, and after a while, he's no longer a stranger. He is accepted among the people. Then he becomes a threat to the flock when he starts teaching false doctrine. Let me say this. We don't just let anybody come up here behind this pulpit. We're very careful about who we allow behind this pulpit to preach to this flock. We don't allow preachers from other denominations or other faiths to preach here. Now, it was popular for a while in this ecumenical movement for preachers to share their pulpits with men of other faiths and other denominations. It's been done here in Broken Arrow. We're very careful about that. Years ago, we had a man here in our church who got very upset with me because I refused to join the Ministerial Alliance of Broken Arrow. And he thought I was being pig-headed, narrow-minded. And it really upset him that I refused to. They would send me invitation and everything. I just ignored them. I didn't ever attend. He said, "Why in the world won't you do it? It would help our church." I said, "Brother, I cannot walk with those that I don't agree with." Matter of fact, the Bible says that in Amos 3:3. How can two walk together except they be agreed? How can I fellowship with preachers who reject the deity of Jesus Christ? How can I fellowship with preachers who reject the fundamental doctrines of the Bible that I believe and that I preach? I can't do it. So we're very careful about who we allow to come and preach from this pulpit. We want to make sure that they are going to preach the truth of God's word. That brings us, the second thought here is the dullness of the people. He underlines the dullness of some listeners. He said, "I am the door. The only way out of a dead religion into the abundant life is through me." Think about a door. A door has several functions. A door can divide rooms. It secures, it opens to give access. It can be closed to prevent access, right? And so the shepherd himself becomes the door of the fold so that no prowling animal can get in unless they go over the shepherd. He lays down in the opening and he sleeps there to protect his flock. And no straying sheep can go out over him without waking him up. So, we have a shepherd. He loves us. He wants to feed us. He wants to take us to green pastures, to still waters. Right? There's an obscure psalm. I think it's Psalm 23. You might want to read that sometime and read about what the good shepherd will do. Leads us to green pastures, to still waters. Jesus proclaims himself to be that shepherd and to be that door himself. He is the door of the sheepfold. He makes it possible for the sheep to leave the fold and enter into his flock. We're going to be talking about that here for three more messages, about what all is involved in this. We have a shepherd, a good shepherd who loves us. He'll lead us. And we can become part of that flock. But true, Jesus is the door of salvation. Those who put their trust in Him enter into the flock, the family of God. We have the wonderful privilege of going in and out and finding pasture. When you keep in mind, the shepherd is the door of the fold, that image becomes very real. Somebody said, I think I saw this on Facebook or something. Somebody put, heaven has a wall, a gate, pearly gate, right? And strict immigration policy. Hell has open borders, and it's very easy to enter. But it's impossible to leave. Thought that was interesting. To all unbelievers, Jesus is a closed door. He's an open door to those who will believe in Him, but He's a closed door to those who reject Him. If you die lost, He'll be a closed door to you to keep you out of heaven. So my prayer is that you will recognize the voice of the shepherd, and that you will invite Him to come into your life, and that you will join the fold, the flock of God, while you still have time.